For those who are wanting to play with Twitter, my Twitter handle is @Aruxbo. It's obscure backwards, just in case anyone was wondering. And the server session code is #WSV317. Now, I've actually got a confession to make. I don't like doing live demos. And I know there are some people here who are just waiting to see me fail. The demo environment that I had especially prepared for tonight went belly up. The hard drives completely failed. Normally I will try and record these demos beforehand, so I've got a backup. It happened before I got to do that. But I was very lucky. We actually have tonight with us Principal Program Manager for the Windows Server Manageability Team, Mr. Ian Lucas, who's actually sitting down here. He has brought along his laptop all the way from the US, which has a demo environment, which contains all the machines that are necessary for me to do the demo tonight. This is living on the edge. I haven't actually played around with his machine in order to see that I can actually do the demo, so we're going to have a bit of a fun. The other thing, because Ian is actually here and knows stuff that I don't, what we're going to do is we're going to defer questions to the end for two reasons. One, so I can finish a bit early so that those who don't have questions can get out early. And two, so that we can stop the recording so that if you have questions that need to be asked unofficially, Ian can give you answers that will not be tweeted out. Alright. Ian is able to answer questions off the record. Does that sound okay? Alright. Let's get going. The agenda for tonight. I have a short overview of Server Manager. Those of you who went along to David's session, what's new in Server Manager 2012, he's already stolen a fair bit of my thunder. But we'll still cover some of the basics. A lot of the other sessions that are going on at TechEd are also going to be covering Server Manager and some of the features of Server Manager. Those of you who were in the storage one just before this saw Rick using Server Manager with this Server Manager with the storage components of it. We're going to dig a little bit deeper, though, than David dug this morning. So we're going to have a look at some of the ways in which Server Manager can be customized to your need and some of the bells and whistles that have been brought to the table. We'll look at ways of personalizing it. And then finally, depending upon how time goes, we'll just have a look at some of the troubleshooting things surrounding around Server Manager. But first, a question. How many sysadmins do we have in the audience? Can you raise your hand, please? All right. So out of the 60 or 70 people, probably half are sysadmins. I used to be a sysadmin. I still like to play as one from time to time. But I honestly admire the work you guys do. What is the average number of windows that you reckon users would have open simultaneously on their desktop? Anyone thinks less than 5? Hands up. Too many? How about between 6 and 10? More hands up. Okay. What about 11 to 15? Fewer hands. More than 15? My goodness, there are some of you who think there's a lot of users, a lot of windows open. Now, I wouldn't be classifying you guys as normal users. So for the sysadmins, in particular, that's chicken feed. How many windows will you normally have open? Anyone over 20? Over 30? Over, it sounds like an auction. Over 40? Rick's still got his hand up. Can we let the Canadian... We are actually in the Canadian room, Arena 1A, as Rick said. Anyone over 50? All right. Back a few years ago, when we were having a look at usability and how people were actually launching applications, A survey was conducted. You'll be able to pull down the slide deck afterwards. The URL is at the bottom if you want to get the full picture. And it was actually having a look at taskbar manageability, including the fact that over 98% of people leave the taskbar at the bottom. And we're not sure whether those who move it to the side or the top of the window are doing so because they want the taskbar at the side or the top, or whether it's a mistake. Where's my taskbar and how do I get it back? Followed closely by the auto hide, I suppose. Absolutely. And what we found is that more than 90% of people actually have less than 14 or 14 and less windows open, with the bulk of them between the 6 and 9. That's the users. Those three towers there, up to 14, are the users. Who's doing more than 15? That's the IT pros and sysadmins. In fact, seeing some of the sysadmins using their computers, it's like watching a conductor at the orchestra. Somehow, magically, with hopefully multiple monitors, they have the ability to work while jumping between various sections and keeping an eye on all these things happening at once. I'm actually amazed that there aren't more women who are sysadmins because they can multitask better. Or so I've been told. Maybe we're just very good fast context switchers. What it tells us, though, is that these sysadmins are having to deal with an extraordinarily large number of windows open. And when we dug a bit further, we found out that one of the reasons why was that they would have a separate window open for every server that they're looking after. The more servers that you look after, the more windows you have open. And we have them open so we can quickly jump from one to the other, because it takes time to open a window. In fact, I reckon that good sysadmins are lazy people. They will try and find the simplest, easiest, least effort way of getting their work done. And I think that's an excellent trait. I look for that if ever I'm needing to employ a sysadmin. So let's leave the damn things open. If the computer can handle it, great. If it can't, hey, request for more equipment. Multiple monitors. This is good. All right. Server 2012 is Windows Server previously was a great operating system for single servers, but the message that hopefully you've been getting is that Server 2012 is really geared around multiple servers. Elasticity of demand in the cloud, where we could have any number of servers that are being provisioned or not. Not only do we need to make sure that we're looking after the servers that are close to us, but we can aggregate that and look after the servers that are no matter where they happen to be, whether they're on premises or off, physical or virtual. Let's make sure that we can try and connect to them and manage them the same way. So, the main tool that we should be using for server management is Server Manager. Question for the sysadmins. How many of you actually do most of your server management tasks inside Server Manager? Anyone? A couple. All right. For the vast majority of the sysadmins, though, the IT pros that are managing servers, we have to start other tools, other management applications, other ways of looking after our servers. This is extra work. We shouldn't need to do this extra work. So we wanted to make sure that we were investing, when we're redesigning things, we were investing in a tool for Server Manager that would actually enable us to connect to and manage multiple machines. Still put in the bid for the second or third monitor, but hey, we want to manage multiple machines from the one tool. We want to have a UI that makes us be able to see the contents that would normally be scattered across lots and lots of different windows in the one place. And from that information, if it is relevant, we should be able to take actions. We shouldn't have to go somewhere else in order to be able to do stuff. The other thing that's been done is Server Manager, like a lot of the other Windows tools, is built to work directly on top of PowerShell. Some of the new features, PowerShell over web access, and some of the advances in the integrated scripting environment really bear testimony to this. Now, I'm not going to steal the thunder of the PowerShell talks, but if you haven't played around with PowerShell under Server 2012 or Windows 8, have a look at the ISC and have a look at the IntelliSense, where when you start doing things, you can get a full list of the options without having to remember them. So, Server Manager is a very different beast. We have at the top a dashboard view. The idea being that we can roll up all the information that we're needing to do into one place. When we're driving a car, we want to be looking at one place for all the information that's required for us to be able to drive that car. We shouldn't have to look at all sorts of other different things. In the same way that when we're managing the server fleet or the servers that we are responsible for, we want to make sure that we can see all of the information in one spot at a high level. Server Manager allows us, and we'll dig in and have a look at some of this stuff. Server Manager allows us to dig in and have a look at things by role or by services and events. We can roll all these things up and we can see at a glance which things are working well and which things aren't working well. In fact, before we dig into actually flipping across to the demo environment, I've got to give you a framework for why this is the case. You might have a whole raft of machines in your data center, but the larger organizations, at least the ones that I've been working with, the sysadmins and the mid-range guys and the others that are looking after things tend to look after and manage a subset of the servers inside that data center. If they're trying to look after everything and overlap each other, we can have problems. So what we do is we have a look at our servers, no matter where they are, and we extract from that server pool a group that we are responsible for looking after. We can then, using Server Manager, take an inventory of those servers and exposing from those servers the roles that those servers are running. Now, the different groups, the different dashboard tiles that we actually get will show us a role breakdown, and we have a catch-all all servers bucket as well. We put that into Server Manager and we have three different views. On the left-hand side, we have a navigation pane to jump quickly between things. At the top level, we have a dashboard. And then underneath that, we can drill down into detailed views. Finally, once we've got that information exposed, we can also include the events, the services, the performance characteristics, and the best practice analyzer tasks that are available for those particular servers that we are managing. Hands up, apart from TechEd and maybe some online videos, is there anybody who hasn't played around or had a look at Server Manager? So maybe a third of you. All right, so this will be new to you. For the rest of you, please bear with me. And I won't forget to switch. I know it's a live demo, Rick. Thank you very much. He's just aching for me to fail. It's Canadian reverse logic. All right, this is Ian's machine. So to drive it, I need to start Server. Now, this is a Windows 8 desktop. Server Manager comes as part of the remote server administration tools. Has anybody been playing with the remote server administration tools for Windows 8 and Server 2012? Okay, a few of you. The questions that you are likely to be asking about that, please wait until the end. It's pretty lonely at the moment. There aren't any servers there. So let's add some. I can do it this way, or I can go up here and under Manage, add servers. Same thing pops up. And rather than showing all the servers that Ian's got running on here, I'm just going to find the ones that start with server because they're all the demo machines. And all of these, I will add. Bang, done. It's found five servers. It's now inventorying those servers. And we can see that on the left-hand side, We have our dashboard, and we're on the dashboard view at the moment, and it's created tiles to show us all the different roles that those servers have and the all servers category as well. From here, I have the ability to drill down on various things, showing the servers, go to all servers. I can drill down on the all servers here. These are all the servers. And you'll notice that whichever server I pick, it's actually going to have the events You got Zoom it on this machine, Ian? That's all right. Okay, so if you mark me down on not having Zoom it, it's not my machine. But this is for managing multiple machines, so why don't I select multiple machines, and you can now see that I'm exposing actually the events from multiple machines under events. And if I scroll down, I'm actually having a look at the services. Goodness me, there's a lot on server one. 2, 3, those are the three that I picked. We have performance on. We turned all the performance counters off. Let's start all those. Remember I said things should be actionable? Start performance counters. That's on. It's waiting for data, and that'll gradually populate with performance information. I can drill down and have a look at things by service. I have one DNS server. It's actually running on server 4. We have no events for that. We have a DNS service that's running. Do you reckon there are other services that are running on server 4? Certainly hope so. Why am I only seeing DNS here? Exactly right. Because I'm looking under the DNS role, I'm only concerned with the things that relate to DNS. I'm narrowing my view to say, show me the stuff that relates to this particular role. Now, if I had multiple servers that were running DNS and I selected those multiple servers, I would be able to see the services for all those servers that relate to DNS in the one place. If there was a problem with that service, I could stop, restart, and pause the services from here. I don't have to go anywhere else to do it. The information that we actually have up here, now that it's inventorying the servers, is not all that great, but we have the ability to actually select a lot more information. Let's choose the processors that it's got. Let's choose the memory that it's got. Let's choose, what else can I find here? Oh, let's look at the manufacturer. We can actually expose a lot of this information, inventory information that's already been collected, but it just hasn't been bubbled up. Okay. Let me pick server 2, and down here under the best practice analyzer, we haven't actually had anything done, so why don't I start a BPA scan on server 2? I can actually pick other ones if I want, and I'll start a scan now. Once I start a task, I've actually got something running here on the server. You can see it's actually running. I've got a tasks flag up here. It'll highlight if there are errors, if there are warnings, if there are other things that are going on. And you can see that, I've finished the scan. I can actually expose the task details here and see that the BPA scan completed for server 2. All of this within Server Manager. All right. Let's jump back to here. So, to recap what we've just had a look at in the demo. I can select which servers I want to manage. I don't have to look at everything. I can make sure that the dashboard is showing me information that's based around the roles that those servers have. and that I can have an all-server view as well. We're aggregating information at a level that enables us to scale. Now, I'm talking with Ian before about scaling. If you are responsible for managing several thousand machines, the recommended approach is System Center. If we're talking about enterprise class configuration and operations management, System Center is still the recommended way of doing it. For those of us who are managing far fewer servers, you can't beat the price of Server Manager. Okay, some of the improvements that we've made over 2008 R2. When we were using 2008 R2 Server Manager, we wanted to add a role or a feature to a machine. It was a role or a feature. We couldn't do both at the same time. Did that seem a little bit odd to people? I've got a server, it's going to take this role, and I want these extra bits and pieces put in. We can now do that. When we add a role or a feature to a server in 2012, we can do the lot. Some of the other options that we've got. Let's say I want to add a role or a feature to a server. I can actually do it while that server is offline. I can use the VHD of a virtual machine, and I can mount that virtual hard disk to another running machine, install the role or the feature on that VHD, and then when I bring the server back up, it will have that role and feature on it. In this way, we can actually have a repository of roles and feature source files stored off the server. If we're really worried about not having extra binaries on the server, we can actually move them off. Because we can actually do these deployments, we can create configuration templates. The configuration templates enable us to say, right, we've enabled a role or a feature or roles and features on a machine. We've installed a machine based on a standard build. It's worked. Cool. Fantastic. I want to do it on 100 other machines. I can take that template and I can apply that template to 100 other machines because we know it works. This is really good for cloud computing, especially when you want to scale out dramatically. What technology do you reckon we should be using in order to deploy a template to lots and lots of machines? Is there some sort of scripting language that might be relevant in that regard? Anyone say PowerShell? Okay. So we have Server Manager out of the box. It has the ability to break things down by role. We get the all servers view, but some of us don't manage things that way. Some of us manage things by department or by country or by some other grouping that doesn't fit neatly into the roles. What we have the ability to do is to create custom groups inside Server Manager. When we use these custom groups, because they're not tied down to a particular role, it actually gives us a little bit more configurability, a little bit more extensibility in how we expose the services, the events, and the other things that are running on those machines. So let's have a look at that. Swapped across. All right. I've got all my servers still here, but a few of them I actually want to pop into a custom group. So I'm going to manage, and I'm going to create a server group, and the server group might well be TechEd problem servers. Might help if I selected some first. Go, and I'm going to add from the server pool. I have 1, 2, and 3. It's not 4. 1, 2, 3. We'll pop them in this group. And we have our first error. Fantastic. I don't, do I? Thank you, TechEd. Problem servers.
I did. I'm an IT pro. All right. Let's go back to the dashboard. We should now see that we have TechEd problem servers. And because they're TechEd problem servers, sure enough, there's an issue. Let's have a look at the services that are running on there. We have two services, Shell HW hardware detection, that's stopped on both of these. Well, I'm going to just restart those services. Now if I go back and have a look, cool, it's green. I did talk about adding roles and features to a machine while it was offline as well. So let's flip across. Let's add something to, I don't know, server 5 sounds like a good idea. Now, rather than server 5 being running, let's shut it down. We should find now under here, if we refresh, still tells us it's online, waiting. Should be off. And this is one reason why I record things beforehand, so we don't have to look at progress bars. Still refreshing the servers. All right, it's told us that the refresh has actually failed. But even though I can close that off the tasks list now, I can see that server 5 is now no longer accessible. That means it's pretty obvious because it's off. So let's go and add role and feature. We can do this through remote desktop services installation. We're going to do a role-based or feature-based installation here, and we're going to select a virtual hard disk. Now, the virtual hard disk that we're going to select is on the base machine. If I get the name right, MSP demo. Laptop 2, cool. VMs, are we not working? That's not helpful. Hasn't it been shared? Ah, this is Ian playing with me. It says it's shared at the moment. VM. Try demo, see if that works. VM or VHD? VHD, thank you. Server 5. All right, I'll copy that. Hello? Not my machine, isn't that fun? And VM, VHD. So simple, even a non-sysadmin can do it. So SVR, let's try this way. There we go. Copy that. Now, will it let me paste it in here? It does. Fantastic. For me to be able to actually put these roles and features, install a role and feature on the box though, I need to be able to mount that VHD. So let's pick another server. We can't pick server 5 because that's off, and that's the disk that we're using anyway. So, next. Failed to read. Username or password is incorrect. You actually do need permissions to be able to access it from the machine that you're launching it from. So I might be a little bit out of my depth here with your machine, Ian. Let me go through what actually happens. Failed demo, I'm prepared to admit. All right, you guys are the king. All right. Once we have mounted the disk, it will give us the option of which server role we want to install. We can actually see already, when we've mounted the disk, which server roles are already installed on it. We can pick the server role. Once we've picked the server role, the next step in the process is to pick which additional features, which server role features that we want to have on that box. So we can pick those as well. Once we've gotten to that stage, we say, yes, we have finished. This is where we want to be. We have a number of options at the end. The number of options at the end, one is at the configuration page, we have a little box at the top that says, tick here to automatically restart the server. Now, let's say you want to install some roles and features on a box, and it's the end of the day, mounted the disk, stored roles and features, gone and turned the server back on, and I've left. And I can actually leave. I don't have to wait for the roles and features to be installed. I can close the wizard. This is all about server manager being able to manage multiple servers. Now, the automatically restart bit means that as it's booting up and it's putting in these roles and features, if it needs to restart itself, it can. And it will. If you don't tick the box, it will go up, do what it can, and then say, I need to restart before I can go any further. And that will also be exposed in the tasks within Server Manager. At the bottom of that same page, we have another option to export the configuration file. So all the PowerShell commands that have been used to install that role and that features, those features, get saved, can be saved in a file. Once we've got those commands in the file, we've got a template now. Check and make sure that the machine's up, running the way it is. We can now take that template and apply that template to as many other servers as we want to bring up extra copies of the thing. Get back into safe land.
All right.
So what we can do is we can actually group the servers. I said I made a problem child one. We can group the servers to match the way that we want to manage things. And we can make sure that for those servers, we're exposing the information that we need for those servers. One of the questions we often get asked is in the battle between the server admins and the network admins. Does anyone else have battles between the server admins and the network admins? Oh, the number of times we've had a problem with a server and the network admins have gone home for the weekend only to find out the reason why is that they've incorrectly configured one of the ports on the switch. We can get an argument, can't we? We can have a debate going on, couldn't we? No. We're all supposed to be friends here, but the network admins I often find want to keep the network traffic down. We say we've got these nice fat pipes, we should be using them. And then we want to make sure that the servers are operating at a lower performance. And they're saying, well, we've got all this extra grunt. We should be using it. There's a bit of a balancing act. So how much confidence can we have in the data? From the information that we're getting, how up to date is it? How often are we getting this stuff? And often, the more often we're getting this information, the more we're putting a load on the servers and the more we're generating network traffic. How does it impact our servers and how does it impact our network? Well, some of the things that we do now with this information that we're exposing through Server Manager, we timestamp everything. If I quickly flip back to here and have a look at the dashboard, you'll see that when I hover over any of the tiles, It actually tells us when the last events were received in the bottom right-hand corners. Notice we keep it exposed here where it's red because we've got issues. That means that when we connect to the server to say, I need more information from you, it's only going to send us stuff since the last time we checked. We're getting a delta. We're not actually flooding the network each time with all the information that we've got. We can also do provider side caching. So on the servers where this information is being gathered, rather than continually shipping it off to server manager, particularly if our polling interval is a lot shorter than the time that we're using to push things through to server manager, we can just cache it. Say, building up a nice little bag here, and the next time server manager asks for something, I can ship it across. We're trying to make sure that we can provide some variability in our environment so we're not swamping things too much. So, for example, there's some extra smarts involved when we're monitoring different things. We might have all servers. We might be monitoring server 1, 2, 3, and 4, and we're going a 24-hour period for criticals, errors, and warnings for the application setup and system logs. We might decide to have a look at the information for Rolex and configure that differently. In this case, we're interested in a 12-hour period only, and we're only getting the logs for Rolex, whatever that happens to be, DNS or something else. We do a custom group, and we're getting some information from that as well. Notice, however, that for server, at the top level, 3 days, we're getting critical levels and error levels from the application log. We're getting that same information at the 24-hour level for critical application logs and errors. We don't need to send it twice. Server manager is actually smart enough to realise and tells the servers, hey, I'm after this information and this other group is after the same information. Don't send it twice, just send it once to me. So we have that optimization as well. Another thing we can do is personalise the experience. And while we try and do now as much as we possibly can within server manager, we still have a whole host of management tools that we need to be able to access and use. We can launch PowerShell scripts, and we can organize the tools. So let's close this, go back to our machine. Where is the machine? I'm guessing it's this one. It must have been closed down. In fact, it seems that every time we go through a new version of Windows Server, we get an increasing number of tools to be able to do stuff. Demo failure number 2. Let's have a look. IT Pro Desktop, it's off. Let's start it. Let's connect. View full screen. NTP. And let's pick the desktop. We've got our servers here, and we have all of our tools. We can launch from here. not seeing the scripts here, so I might have to do this the hard way. If I go to the start screen, this is where all my tools live. Is the script in here somewhere, Ian? All right. So let's do this one. Open. Organize admin tools. Ian has already done a PowerShell script for this. And what this does, it will take all the admin tools that are in the admin tools folder, and it will make some directories, and it will configure this. So I should be able to, if I run it, done. If I go back to here now, and have a look at my tools, you'll now see that I actually have a number of folders, and inside those folders, all those top level menu items, I've actually organized all the tools to work the way that I want to work. Now, being a good person, I want to make sure I put Ian's system back the way it was. So let's nip back to here. I'm going to open. I'm ensuring it's restore admin tools. And we'll run that. And we should find now that the tools are all back the way they were. You can do this however you want. You can have your layout however you want, however makes sense to you. All right. Finish off some troubleshooting scenarios, and we will have enough time to have some Q&A. When we're trying to troubleshoot Server Manager, because we're managing now multiple machines, and those machines could be anywhere, we want to break up the troubleshooting into three different areas. One is it a client-side problem? Is the issues that I'm having with Server Manager something that I don't have time to deal with in the middle of a breakout session at TechEd? Yes. But that aside, is it a client-side issue? Or is it something to do on the server end? Or is it something to do between us and the servers? Trying to categorise some of these, we could have a huge long list, but some of the various things could be on the client side. We might have a trust issue. We might have broken the trust connection between our machine and the servers, so we're not actually able to do a Kerberos authentication. It might well be, from a remote access perspective, that we've got some DNS issues or we're having some name resolution problems. I'm trying to find a server that isn't actually there. On the server side, we might have some data corruption. We might have some other things that are happening that are actually preventing us from getting to it. And those are the errors that we might have. Just going through some of the potential fixes. Kerberos security errors. Make sure that your Kerberos trust is actually working. Try and form a connection to the server remotely. See if you can map a network drive or something. Remote access errors. Once again, for some of the servers, verify that WinRM 3.0 is actually installed, running, and the required firewall ports are opened. We're actually using WinRM calls to get the information off the servers. And from the server side, it might well be that you've got the server sitting there waiting to be restarted. And because it's sitting there waiting to be restarted, some of the services and other things are unavailable. What we've tried to do too is to make sure that the experience between Server Manager and Command PowerShell is actually consistent. There are two modules. There is a Server Manager and a Server Manager Tasks module that will now contain a whole slew of the tasks that we're actually able to do inside Server Manager. We can actually manage down-level clients. We can actually manage Windows 2008 and 2008 R2. In fact, we can even go down to managing Server 2003. We're limited in what we can do. We can restart the server. Shut it down. But remember that we actually need to install the Windows Management Framework on 2008 and 2008 R2 in order to expose those other management tasks and those other things. Right. We're also not restricted to just looking at domain-connected machines. If you're in a workgroup environment or you've got some Azure servers that might be in a different domain or a different environment, or using a different server name, different username in order to be able to connect to it. We can actually manage those servers using different identities. We're trying to make sure that from the one pane of glass, from the one tool, we can manage all these servers across the board. It is the last session. Thank you very much for coming along. Please make sure you fill out your evals. One is bad, five is good. I need to say that from time to time because some people go one, great session. Or hopefully this won't be the case, 5, 5, 5, 5, bad session. Although 5, 5, 5, good session is good. And I really hope you do win a mouse. There are far more resources that are available on this. And, of course, a lot of the other sessions are going to be touching on using Server Manager in all the various different ways. I think it's a really good for us thing to see how extensible it is. And please remember to tweet, I want a ride in the hash windserve heli at hash AUTechEd. Cause, give a reason. The reasons will be judged. And the best ones, you get to go up in the whirly bird. Tomorrow, server war stories. I'll probably throw in my demo failures as part of that, since I'm on the panel. Our lunch is provided, but we are limited in the capacity that we can actually have people attend. And I have finished with about 10 minutes left to spare, so we can stop the recording.